Welcome to the SwampSwamiSports.com audio podcast.
We're going to have a lot of fun. Come on and join us.
Sure, there's always room for one more.
Time for your weekend sports update. For one 2025 national champion LSU baseball team, last weekend's games ended any remote chances that they're going to qualify for the upcoming playoffs with a chance to repeat. But for the other 2025 national champion LSU baseball team, located in the northwest corner of the state, their chance for a title repeat is very much alive and well today. This weekend also featured the quiet return of one of the PGA Tour's most popular golfers as he won for the first time in 8 years. Plus, the NBA's Indiana Pacers' attempt to tank and receive a top draft pick backfired big time on Sunday afternoon. First, the LSU Tigers baseball team goes 0-3 at Georgia and will not be defending their title. Omaha is not going to be the final destination for this year's 2026 LSU baseball team in June. Last year's national champions just dropped 3 straight games in Athens, Georgia over the weekend. The Georgia Bulldogs downed the Tigers 11-8, 13-8, and unfortunately 12-1 after the 10-run rule was invoked in Sunday's finale. That weekend sweep also gave the Dogs a 2026 SEC regular season title. UGA is now 41-11 overall and a very impressive 21-6 in the SEC. LSU's depleted pitching staff, which gives up 5.5 runs every 9 innings, served up an assortment of tasty treats to Georgia's eager batters all weekend long. The Tigers fell to 29-24 overall and a woeful 9-18 in the Southeastern Conference. Those 18 SEC losses is the most ever for any LSU baseball team in history. It's hard to believe that Coach Jay Johnson's baseball team has fallen this far after winning the national title just a year ago in 2025. LSU's regular season mercifully comes to an end at home this weekend in Baton Rouge as the Florida Gators, 34-18 on the season and 15-12 in the SEC, come to visit Alec Box Stadium. LSU remains in 14th place in the 16-team SEC. Only South Carolina, which is 7-20 in the league, and Missouri, at 6-21, have a worse record. Up in Shreveport, the defending NAIA baseball champion LSU's Pilots are peaking at the right time, though. Last year's LSU Shreveport baseball team set an all-time college baseball record by becoming the first team ever to win every single game they played. But the 59-0 perfect Pilots of 2025 have lost 12 times during 2026, but they also have picked up 41 wins as well. LSU Shreveport is going to host 4 other top regional teams in the NAIA opening round playoff series beginning today on Monday, May 11th at Pilot Field in Shreveport. LSUS is a nifty 31-4 at home this year, so the odds favor the Pilots advancing into the second round of the NAIA playoffs next week. Unlike their big brothers down in Baton Rouge, the LSU Shreveport pitching has been exceptionally in 2026. Pilots team ERA is just 3.35 per 9 innings. Pitching ace Brock Lucas has posted a 10-2 season record, and he's allowed just 1.83 runs per 9 innings. So best of luck to the LSU's Pilots as they try to bring home a second consecutive national baseball title to the city of Shreveport. Also from Louisiana, let's talk some softball. Fans of the ULM Warhawk sports teams have not had a lot to crow about in recent years, but the women's softball team has been a recent exception. The Warhawks won their very first ever Sun Belt regular season softball title recently after posting an impressive 19-5 league record. Last weekend's Sun Belt Conference Tournament number 1 seed ULM won their opening game against UL Lafayette. The Warhawks then dropped a 3-1 decision in the semifinal round to number 5 seed and eventual tournament winner South Alabama. ULM finished the season with a 38-20 record. Then Sunday night, the NCAA 64-team Women's Softball Selection Show placed Sun Belt Tournament champion South Alabama into the field as expected. However, 2 other Sun Belt teams also received a spot in the NCAA tournament. Both Marshall University, which finished 2nd in the regular season, and Texas State, which finished 3rd, received an NCAA invitation. Marshall finished with a 37-17 record. Texas State went 38-20. But why didn't the Sun Belt's regular season champion, ULM, receive one of those 2 NCAA spots? The Warhawks were the hottest team in the conference over the last 2 months, having won 19 of their final 22 games. Yes, all three of those at-large Sun Belt teams, ULM, Marshall, and Texas State, all had very similar season-ending records. But shame on the NCAA for leaving out ULM, the regular season champions, out of this year's postseason tournament. Down in Baton Rouge, the LSU Tigers somehow wrangled the number 16 overall seed, and they're going to host the four-team regional event this weekend at Tiger Park. Coach Beth Torino's team is 37-17 overall, and they've won 9 of their last 12 games. LSU just qualified for the softball postseason tournament for an incredible 20 years in a row. That's amazing. The Women's College World Series, by the way, is going to be held at Devon Park in Oklahoma City from May 28th through June the 4th. Now let's move over to golf, where 45-year-old Brant Snedeker won for the first time in nearly 8 years. As we know, the sport of golf can be played well into our senior years. However, it's very rare to see many winners on the men's and women's professional golf tours coming after they reach their mid-40s. Hall of Famer Sam Snead still holds the men's record after winning the Greater Greensboro Open in 1965 at the age of 52. Two-time Ryder Cup golfer Brant Snedeker has already been selected to become the captain for this fall's President's Cup team. The honor generally goes to a popular PGA professional golfer whose playing career has already peaked. Being the team captain usually means spending a whole lot of time handling team decisions, tournament details, the media, and a whole lot more. So most team captains do not have a lot of time to play and improve their own golf game that year. The 45-year-old Brant Snedeker lost his playing card on the PGA Tour a few years ago after several seasons filled with injuries and generally poor results on the golf course. Snedeker was having to rely on sponsor exemptions recently in order to be added to several events over the past few seasons. The very likable Brant Snedeker from Tennessee wanted to prove to himself and to his family that his golf game was still good enough to win on tour again. His 18-under-par total at Sunday's Myrtle Beach Classic PGA Tour stop was good enough to secure a one-stroke victory over a 36-year-old winless golfer. Yes, Mark Hardluck Hubbard bogeyed the 18th hole Sunday, and he finished in second place. With that win, though, Brant Snedeker earned a 2-year exemption on the PGA Tour and a place in this weekend's PGA Championship outside of Philadelphia. Nicely done, and welcome back to the tour, Sneds. And finally, the Indiana Pacers flunked the NBA draft ping pong ball lottery on Sunday afternoon. Here's a question. Do you remember which team the Oklahoma City Thunder beat in the NBA Finals less than a year ago? Me too. I can't remember either. But it was the number 4 East seed Indiana Pacers who surprised many of us with a late season charge to win the NBA Eastern Conference title in 2025. Indiana then fought gamely in the NBA Finals against number 1 overall seed Oklahoma City before losing in Game 7 at OKC. This year, the Indiana Pacers suffered a series of injuries during the first half of their NBA season. The Pacers then went on to establish some franchise records for the longest losing streaks in Pacers history during the second half of this year. You could say that the Indiana Pacers were tanking on purpose in hopes of receiving one of the NBA's top couple of draft picks in June. The league rewards bad teams by giving them the highest odds of receiving a top draft pick after the season ends. And Indiana lost with vigor. This team lost and lost and lost some more. The Pacers dropped 13 games in a row from mid-December into January. They even topped their own futility mark with another franchise record 16-game losing streak from February into March. In what would turn out to be a colossal mistake, though, the Indiana Pacers also made a multiplayer trade with the Los Angeles Clippers back in February during the big losing streak. And as part of that deal, Indiana's number one draft choice would be sent to the Clippers, but only if Indiana should be assigned a draft selection worse than the number 4 overall pick. Not to worry, right? Indiana finished with a franchise worst 19-63 record, and that firmly put the Pacers as one of the top 3 worst teams in the NBA this year. The NBA's draft lottery rules assign an equal 14% chance of getting the top draft pick to the 3 biggest losers. And this season, those teams were the Washington Wizards, the Indiana Pacers, and the Brooklyn Nets. The next best odds at 11.5% were assigned to the Utah Jazz and Sacramento Kings. Those other 8 non-playoff teams each received a descending percentage chance, with number 14 Charlotte having a minuscule 0.5% chance of receiving the number 1 draft pick in June. What could possibly go wrong for Indiana then? Plenty. after the Washington Wizards ping pong ball drawing gave them the number one overall draft pick in June, Indiana was hoping to grab that number two spot. And alas, the second worst team in the NBA this year watched in horror as their ping pong ball drawing fortunes went horribly wrong. The Pacers did not hear their name called until the number five draft position. And as a result, Sunday's ping pong ball fiasco also handed Indiana's 2026 first round pick over to the Los Angeles Clippers as part of that February trade. Indiana is not receiving any first round selection in this year's NBA draft. Instead, the Pacers will receive the Clippers' first round pick in the year 2031. Indiana Pacers President of Team Operations Kevin Pritchard later apologized to the team's basketball fans. He said, quote, "I'm really sorry to all our fans. I own taking this risk." Yeah, you sure do, Mr. Pritchard. This also spotlights the NBA's convoluted system of incentivizing lousy basketball teams to go and out-lose each other during the second half of the basketball season. The worst teams generally will receive one of those top three or four draft picks. In this case, the Indiana Pacers, historically a rather competitive franchise, definitely got burned. NBA Commissioner Adam Silver recently commented that the league's draft lottery system is slated to receive an overhaul in 2027 to prevent teams from tanking. He said, quote, "You should assume for next season that your only incentive is to win games." Yeah, right, Commissioner. I'm not from Missouri, but you'll need to show me before I believe that the NBA has an effective plan to end the league's tanking issues. I'm Swamp Swami.